Hey, Mike, a lot to talk about. So there's a change in the way Carbondale and the Liquor Advisory Committee and the City Council interact when it comes to liquor licenses?
Yeah, it's really a minor change. This came about because we had somebody wanting to open a restaurant here in Carbondale. And because of our liquor licensing process and the timing of the way they hit the process, it was going to be 2.5 months before we could actually issue a liquor license. And that got us to thinking about, is there a way to speed the process just for initial license applications? And so what we have proposed doing, and we've talked to our Liquor Advisory Board about it. We were at their meeting, last meeting, which was after the council meeting. And we're really going to just bypass the Liquor Advisory Board looking at the applications. Our staff vets them and makes sure all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed. And we do that anyway, even before Liquor Advisory Board sees it. We will keep the Liquor Advisory Board in the loop if an applicant feels like they need help in filling out the application. But this will speed us up by at least a month, and sometimes it could make it as quick as 2 weeks to issue an initial liquor license.
One of the reports that I read on this change, it seemed to indicate that the Liquor Advisory Board's primary responsibility now is acquiring all the information and information gathering to present. Is that oversimplification?
Well, that's, when we're looking at changes to the liquor code or when we are a possible liquor violation, then the Liquor Advisory Board will hold hearings on that preliminary to us seeing it. Actually, in the violations, we have a hearing officer that hears those. But in changes to our liquor code, then they hold a public hearing. License holders can go there. The public can go there, talk about it. And they make a recommendation to the council of yay or nay or modify it to this or this. And that does help us tremendously in the process. So it gives, a firsthand opportunity for citizen input to begin with. And then, of course, those folks can come to the city council meeting, which our city council here in Carbondale convenes as the local liquor commission also.
Recently, I read an article in the Southern Illinoisan, and to be honest with you, I was pretty, demoralized, maybe disheartened. I'm not sure the term. I know that I felt very uncomfortable after reading this article, talking about how, the income and revenues, and they're not matching up, and the prospects of the future of losing city home rule if population is lost to a certain point. They kind of, there's a lot of numbers here about how the tax dollars are broken up, 5% for the state, 1% of the city. I mean, you collect 6.25%, the state gets 5%, city gets 1%, county gets 0.25%. Did you read this, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, of course, I'm very familiar with it.
I know you are. I was wondering.
As a home rule city, as everybody knows, our politicians would call it revenue enhancements with their taxes that we added to do our downtown revitalization. We dedicated these taxes to very specific things that we want to do. A big portion of them goes to our police and fire pensions, which the pensions that are earned every month we pay all the time. That's in our budget. The state of Illinois years ago borrowed from that pension fund, and it's still woefully underfunded by billions of dollars. And they have come back to cities and asked them to bail them out of that debt. And we're never quite sure what that is, but I think this year it's over $800,000. And it goes up every year, and there's not a single thing we can do about it. So we always wait for those to get that number, and we start working on our budget from that. The other thing that happened is when the state passed their so-called budget at the end of last year, we were in the middle of our fiscal year, our budget year here in Carbondale, and they took over $500,000 away from us at just the stroke of a pen with called the Local Government Distributive Fund, which is our share of income taxes paid in and sales taxes paid in. And based on our population, and they just decided all the cities in Illinois were going to pay a little extra to help them balance their budget.
Rob Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, yeah, and it makes it tough. Makes it tough, and it was a good article in the Southern. We rely heavily on sales taxes. The city traditionally has a very light burden on a homeowner as far as property taxes. $150,000 home that's worth that on the market, you pay about $135 of taxes to the city. Now you pay other property taxes, but the city share is $135 a year. So other cities around us are, you know, do more with property taxes, but we traditionally have, we've been a retail community, we've had the university here, we've had a lot of people who come in the town during the day and shop and things, so we've relied on sales taxes in the past, and those are the revenues that even our conservative projections, we're down in our current fiscal year, and we're going to be down next year.
All right, so when you see these numbers going down, you see the trend, and here's the thing, Mike, you've been around long enough and a business person in Carbondale long enough that you got a nose for it, we'll call it. You've been around, you talk to these people, you know, you've done business with them, you see the trend, and the trend is the thing that is bad for you. I mean, is that the thing that's got you? I mean, if this was 2007, we go, all right, we'll be able to pull out this once this is over. But with the way the state's going and no sign of significant change in the way they're spending money and no matter the promises that are being made, that if you're a city administrator and you're responsible, whether you're a council member or you're a county board member in Williamson County, you see this trend and it doesn't look good. It's not a promising future financially.
Well, yeah, and, you know, it behooves us and we are obligated to provide certain services to our citizens. One of them is public safety. You know, a good police department, a good fire department. You know, our crime rate in Carbondale is the lowest it's been in 20 years. The perception of that varies with people, but that's absolutely true. We are now the lowest crime rate we've had in 20 years. What we would call our more violent crime, you know, personal robberies or people fighting or shots fired, is the lowest it's been in 5 years. So this is due to us having the will to fund our police and fire and at a level that allows them to do proactive patrolling and extended patrols into neighborhoods and this kind of thing. So all that takes money. But we have the results, and we, you know, and just in, like I said, the last 3 to 5 years, it's just we see a significant difference here by dedicating some funds to that and allowing our police department, fire departments to function at their best.
You know, there's something that I've had to come to terms with over the last few years of my life. We'll call it the last decade, two decades in particular. That control is an illusion. You can have a certain amount of effect in some areas, but you know, you're not just the mayor, you're a member, the city council has a voice. But in Carbondale, there are other players that have a significant role in the financial well-being of that community. And SIU is first to come to mind in the hospital. But SIU being its own entity of sorts rather than a business and a state entity at that, the concerns about reorganizing and getting SIU back on a footing where we don't see enrollment drop every single spring and fall enrollment, this has got to be something that's on your mind quite a bit. I know the Board of Trustees are meeting right now. When or if are you going to share your thoughts with them on the importance of them getting their proverbial act together when it comes to enrollment?
I will be in Edwardsville most of the day tomorrow. I'm leaving at 6:30 in the morning to go up there. Today is their executive session, not open to the public until late in the afternoon. But tomorrow will be their completely open public session. Really, their problems that were with accusations against the chancellor and with some board members have voiced that they're unhappy with President Dunn. I've talked with both of those individuals in the last 3 days here at length. They don't have any insurmountable problems between them. We need you know, we have a board of trustees that has to take ownership of these problems here on our campuses. You know, our Edwardsville campus is doing good. Our Springfield Medical campus is doing very well. We can blame Carbondale's problems on the state and on a lot of other things, but when it comes back to it, is our board of trustees is running a billion-dollar-plus corporation, and they need to start acting like that's what they're doing and stop this infighting and get the job done here. We're running out of time. And I encourage people to stay positive and talk positively about Carbondale and Southern Illinois. This doesn't affect just Carbondale. When you look at the economic impact on 50-mile radius here, it is tremendous, the impact that this university has on Southern Illinois. So we all have a stake in it, and this board's going to have to really step up and stop their infighting and take control of this situation.
It's interesting because I read an Associated Press report from the University of Illinois, and it stuck in my mind because they were saying our reorganization is done and will be fully implemented by, and I think it was mid-April or mid-May. And I'm thinking, gee whiz, we're not even out of the starting blocks here. Maybe we are, you know, in a planning sense, but every attempt at moving forward to this, there's somebody says no. And here's the thing. University of Illinois has done it, and they're a much bigger location. A lot of entities there, a lot of moving parts. It's a land-grant university, and the significance of that gets lost on some people. And I can't help but compare apples to apples. I'm sorry, SIU is not University of Illinois, but they're both the state-funded universities. And why can't one do it when the other one, it's so big, seems to be doing it so successfully and so quickly?
Well, yeah, and, you know, maybe even a better comparison is Illinois State University. They're doing well. Now, they're watching their enrollment, but they're nowhere near the enrollment loss that we are down here. There was an article in the paper the other day, Tom, that talked it's roughly almost 60% of our high school students in Illinois, seniors, are leaving Illinois for their college degrees.
Read that. Yeah. Saw it in the Associated Press, too.
That's a deploring number. Deplorable that that has to happen here.
All right. And you know, and I'm hearing it. I know parents right now saying, I'm not sending my kids there. I'm sending them to Murray. They're going to Mizzou. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
I do, too.
And it's not just some isolated, you know, there are people looking me straight in the eye going, yep, this is what I'm doing with my kids. Well, we all have our reservations in that particular area, but we're out of time. One other item I want to talk about very quickly is the discussion about moving, or has the decision already been made about moving the time for the council meetings?
Yes, council meetings are starting at 6 o'clock now, 6 p.m. I actually saw that printed in error somewhere, but, yeah, we start at 6 instead of 7.
I think this is important for access.
I do, too. You know, in our meetings, while they're shorter than they were before I was mayor, that was one of the things I wanted to do was get control of our council meetings and get them more productive, and fortunately we had... The council was on board with that, so we've done that. But once in a while, we run into a three-hour-long meeting and or three and a half. So now we will only be at 9 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock. And, you know, you get later in the evening, people have worked all day. They want to be heard by council, and they're having to be there very, very late in the evening. And it just will help everybody all the way around, including the council members.
Yeah, including the mayor when you get to get do an early morning interview the next day.
Yeah.
So just a thought. Well,
I don't mind those at all.
Okay.
I like these interviews.
Carbondale Mayor Mike Henry. Mike, I do too. Appreciate your time a great deal. And you know, good luck tomorrow, I think, is what I'm looking for. Tomorrow when you speak with the Board of Trustees, the board, I'm curious about their reaction. And wish you the best of luck presenting your case, so to speak.
Thank you. I think if nothing else, I just need to be there and be visible to let them know that Carbondale is very concerned about this. The city government and the citizens of Carbondale are concerned about what's going on here.
Didn't the Chamber of Commerce just write an open letter to the public in support of the changes too?
Yeah,
I think it was.
They did, and so did the Carbondale Business Development Corporation.
Right.
They're the people that developed our industrial parks here over the years. and I serve as mayor, serve on their board. But you know, the business community is, you know, we're not saying that we can solve this problem, that we know enough about to solve it. We know what we want the end result to be, but we have to rely on the Board of Trustees, President Dunn, Chancellor, in that order, down that chain of command, to get these problems solved and get it done, and they need to do it now. We don't need to wait another year. We can't wait another year, because it's going to take a year for this. Whenever they decide, yes, let's go, it's going to take a year before it even makes a dent in freshman enrollment.